Sermon 2, The Almost Christian. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Acts 26:28. And many there are who go thus far. Ever since the Christian religion was in the world, there have been many in every age and nation who were almost persuaded to be Christians. But seeing it avails nothing before God to go only thus far, it highly imports us to consider, first, what is implied in being almost, and secondly, what is implied in being altogether a Christian. Now, in the being almost a Christian is implied, first, heathen honesty. No one, I suppose, will make any question of this, especially since by heathen honesty here, I mean not that which is recommended in the writings of their philosophers only, but such as the common heathens expected one another, and many of them actually practiced. By the rules of this, they were taught that they ought not to be unjust, not to take away their neighbour's goods either by robbery or theft, not to oppress the poor, neither to use extortion towards anybody, nor to cheat or overreach either the poor or rich, in whatsoever commerce they had with them, to defraud no man of his right, and, if it were possible, to owe no man anything. Point two. Again, the common heathens allowed that some regard was to be paid to truth, as well as to justice, and accordingly, they not only held him in abomination who was forsworn, who called God to witness to a lie, but him also who was known to be a slanderer of his neighbour, who falsely accused any man. And indeed, little better did they esteem wilful liars of any sort, accounting them the disgrace of humankind and the pests of society. Point three. Yet again, there was a sort of love and assistance which they expected one from another. They expected whatever assistance any one could give another, without prejudice to himself. And this they extended not only to those little offices of humanity which are performed without any expense or labour, but likewise to the feeding the hungry if they had food to spare, the clothing the naked when their own superfluous raiment, and in general the giving to any that needed such things as they needed not themselves. Thus far, in the lowest account of it, heathen honesty went the first thing implied in the being almost a Christian. Point four. A second thing implied in the being almost a Christian is the having a form of godliness, of that godliness which is prescribed in the gospel of Christ, the having the outside of a real Christian. Accordingly, the almost Christian does nothing which the gospel forbids. He taketh not the name of God in vain. He blesseth and curseth not. He sweareth not at all, but his communication is yea, yea, nay, nay. He profanes not the day of the Lord, nor suffers it to be profaned, even by the stranger that is within his gates. He not only avoids all actual adultery, fornication, and uncleanness, but every word or look that either directly or indirectly tends thereto, nay, and all idle words, abstaining both from detraction, backbiting, talebearing, evil speaking, and from all foolish talking and jesting. Eutropelia, a kind of virtue in the heathen moralist's account. Briefly, from all conversation that is not good to the use of edifying, and that consequently grieves the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed to the day of redemption. Point five. He abstains from wine, wherein is excess, from revelings and gluttony. He avoids as much as is in him all strife and contention, continually endeavouring to live peaceably with all men. And if he suffer wrong, he avengeth not himself, neither returns evil for evil. He is no railer, no brawler, no scoffer, either at the faults or infirmities of his neighbour. He does not willingly wrong, hurt or grieve any man, but in all things act and speaks by that plain rule whatsoever thou wouldst not he should do unto thee, that do not thou to another. Point six. And in doing good, he does not confine himself to cheap and easy offices of kindness, but labours and suffers for the profit of many, that by all means he may help some, in spite of toil or pain. Whatsoever his hand findeth to do, he doeth it with his might, whether it be for his friends or for his enemies, for the evil or for the good, for being not slothful in this or in any business. As he hath opportunity, he doeth good, all manner of good, to all men and to their souls as well as their bodies. He reproves the wicked, instructs the ignorant, confirms the wavering, quickens the good, and comforts the afflicted. He labours to awaken those that sleep, to lead those whom God hath already awakened to the fountain open for sin and for uncleanness, that they may wash therein and be clean, and to stir up those who are saved through faith to adorn the gospel of Christ in all things. Point seven. He that hath the form of godliness uses also the means of grace. Yea, all of them, and at all opportunities. He constantly frequents the house of God, and that not as the manner of some is, who come into the presence of the Most High, either loaded with gold and costly apparel, or in all the gaudy vanity of dress, and either by their unseasonable civilities to each other, or their impertinent gaiety of their behaviour, disclaim all pretensions to the form as well as to the power of godliness. Would to God there were none even among ourselves who fall under the same condemnation, who come into this house, it may be, gazing about, or with all the signs of the most listless, careless indifference, though sometimes they may seem to use a prayer to God for his blessing on what they are entering upon, who, during that awful service, are either asleep or reclined in the most convenient posture for it, or, as though they supposed God was asleep, talking with one another, or looking around as utterly void of employment. Neither let these be accused of the form of godliness. No, he who has even this behaves with seriousness and attention in every part of that solemn service. More especially when he approaches the table of the Lord, it is not with a light or careless behaviour, but with an air, gesture, and deportment which speaks nothing else but, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Point eight. To this, if we add the constant use of family prayer by those who are masters of families, and the setting time apart for private addresses to God with the daily seriousness of behaviour, he who uniformly practices with that daily seriousness of behaviour, he who uniformly practices this outward religion has the form of godliness. There needs but one more thing, one more, in order to his being almost a Christian, and that is sincerity. By sincerity, point nine, I mean a real inward principle of religion, from whence these outward actions flow. And indeed, if we have not this, we have not heathen honesty. No, not so much of it as will answer the demand of a heathen Epicurean poet. Even this poor wretch, in his sober intervals, is able to testify. Odorant, pecare, boni, virtutis, amore. Odorant, pecare, mali, formidine, puni. Good men avoid sin from the love of virtue. Wicked men avoid sin from a fear of punishment. So that if a man only abstains from doing evil in order to avoid punishment, non pascus in crucis covos, thou shalt not be hanged, saith the pagan, there thou hast thy reward. But even he will not allow such a harmless man as this to be so much as a good heathen. If then any man from the same motive, viz. To avoid punishment, to avoid the loss of his friends or his gain or his reputation, should not only abstain from doing evil, but also do ever so much good, yea, and use all the means of grace. Yet we could not with any propriety say this man is even almost a Christian. If he has no better principle in his heart, he is only a hypocrite altogether.